Psalm 116, beginning at verse 1. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the opportunity and the blessing that we have to come hear it preached in our country still. God, help us. Help us today, help our country. But Father, there's really all we can do today is get what you have for us. That is the most important thing right now. So Father, open our ears, open our hearts, and open our wills today to do according to thy word what is preached to us today. God, I pray for one in this room, or two, or how many that have never trusted Christ as their Savior, that today they would settle it before they leave. Now, God, do a great work, anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit power as he comes. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, I'm going to ask now that you check your cell phone and make sure that it is turned off or to vibrate. Check it now, because if it goes off in the service, the next time you pick it up, a mist will come out of that phone that has the salmonella virus in it. And there won't be any recall for you. So please be careful, would you? Now I want you to listen very carefully this morning. I'm going to mess with the punctuation of the Word of God for just a moment. Psalm 116, verse 1 says, I love the Lord because... I love the Lord because. Please listen. Listen now. I love the Lord because. If I was to ask you that question this morning to fulfill that statement, what would you say? I love the Lord because. What would your answer be, or answers be? You know, the Bible tells us that in the Old Testament, the people of God, the children of God, were commanded to love God. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and other passages in the scripture. God wanted them. He commanded them to love him. So love isn't about how you feel. Love is in obedience to what the Bible says. In fact, hold your place here and go to Matthew 22 just real quickly for a moment, would you? Matthew 22, turn there please, and we'll go back to Psalm 116 in a moment. This business of loving God is very important to your Christian life. Matthew 22, Jesus said it was the greatest commandment of all, was to love God. Matthew 22, turn there please if you would. In verse 34, but when the Pharisees had heard that he put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Matthew 22, verse 35. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Look at Matthew 22, verse 37. And Jesus said unto them, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Now look at verse 38. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Verse 40. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. That verse 40 means this. If you love God like you should, there's nothing in the Bible that is asked of you that's going to be a problem to you. That's why it says on these two commandments, loving God and loving your neighbor as yourself, on those two commandments, everything else the Bible says, the weight of it, the importance of it, the reason for doing it, all of it hangs on those two great commandments. And Jesus said the greatest commandment of all was to love God. Now, Christian, look at me. Your Christian life is affected by how much you love God. Not by your circumstances, not by your conditions, not even by what the Bible asks you to do. It's all dependent on, do you love God enough to do what the Bible tells you to do? So loving God is very important. That's the issue now. And listen, as a pastor, I hear all sorts of issues or reasons why people do or do not do what the Bible tells them to do. But Jesus said, everything the Bible says hangs on, do you love God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind? And do you love your neighbor as you love yourself? If that's the case, There isn't any problem with what the Bible tells you to do as far as you're concerned, because your love for God is that great. Psalm 116 verse 1 says, I love the Lord because. The violation of the punctuation is the apostrophe. It comes with after I love the Lord because, and then he gives the statement. I want to back it up a second. I want you to look at me this morning. How would you finish that statement? You know, the psalmist here is David. And in the order of chronology in his life, Psalm 116 was written when David was an old man. He was about to end his reign as the king of Israel. And after 40 years of reigning as Israel's king, David says, I love the Lord because, and then the rest of Psalm 116 are some of his reasons why he loved God. In Psalm chapter 18 and verse number 1, David as a young man said, I will love thee, O Lord. And as a young man, he made a decision to love God in his life. And after 40 years of reigning as king, David was still keeping that fresh in his life and his mind that he loved God. Now look at me this morning. Look here. We all have the rote and the pat answers, don't we? Well, I love the Lord because, and we can spit out those statements. You've been to church very long. You've picked up enough statements to know how to repeat them. But the question would be this morning. Not only how would you finish the statement, I love the Lord because, but what you said after that, would God really believe you? Because he would know the truth of it. I could tell you I love the Lord and give you the right answers, and you'd say, oh yeah, that me too. And we would even be able to convince each other by how well we said it. But I wonder if God would be convinced. I love the Lord because. I know this, Christian. The Bible says this in the book of Jude. It says, keep yourselves in the love of God. In other words, protect your ability to love God the way you're supposed to. Don't let anything come between you and your love for Him. So I guess this morning, really what I could do is pretty much say, now I'll tell you what, let's pray and go to the hometown buffet and have lunch and let you finish the sermon, because you need to write in here, in your Bible somewhere, you need to write down the reasons why you love God. And when you're done, you need to hold Him up before the Lord and ask Him if He believes it. I've seen folks before, marriages, where their marriage is in trouble. And they'll sit in my office and I'll give them some counseling and we'll talk about some things, and maybe something has happened in the marriage and one of the spouses has violated a bond of trust in that marriage. And the one who's trying to get this thing right will look at their spouse and say, but honey, you know I love you. And the spouse will say, well, and if you did, why did you do that to me? So we know words are cheap, right? Now some people, the Bible does say open rebuke is better than secret love. You're better off chewing somebody out than loving them and never telling them that. So don't misunderstand the statement that words don't matter, but we also know words are cheap too, yes? People can say things they really don't mean. I want you this morning, no friend, look at me. I'll give you some of the reasons why we ought to love God, but the truth is, these reasons are what I give you. You should have your own this morning. But the key to the whole thing is this. If you stand before your holy God today and you look Him in the face and you say, I love you, Lord. I love the Lord because, and He knows it's true. That's what really matters. I love the Lord because, number one, you finish the statement, if you finish it correctly, you say this, I love the Lord because He loved me first. The book of 1 John chapter 4 says, we love Him because He first loved us. The word love in the Bible here in Psalm 116 in the Hebrew is a word that means love in response to someone's love. Now, we know the Bible tells us that God loves us unconditionally. Do you realize this morning, dear friend, that the God of heaven loves you unconditionally? He doesn't ask you to love Him back. He demanded it of the children of Israel. He tells us how important it is to our obedience and to live. But you know what? God will not love you because you love him. He'll love you because he wants to love you. He has chosen to love you. He loves you unconditionally. Do you realize this morning that the God of heaven loved you before you ever existed? He loves you knowing what you would do, good, bad, or indifferent. He loved you knowing what you would become, good, bad, or worse. He knew it all, and he loves you anyway. And nothing could ever change the fact that God loves you this morning. I don't know where you are in this today, but I know as a boy growing up in a drunkard's home, first time I was in a Sunday school class and a Sunday school teacher, dear lady, told me that God loved me. I couldn't believe it. I just couldn't believe it. And it's not that I doubted it. It's just that I thought, now wait a minute. God loves me. For God so loved the world, she said that day in John 3:16. For God so loved the world. And then she stopped, she said, young people, that means you. God loves you. You live in a home where there's not a lot of love expressed. People are drunk and fighting with each other and all the mess that goes on in the dysfunctional homes like that. You wonder sometimes if anybody cares about you at all. And when that teacher said that day, it was like an arrow stuck straight to my heart. And I thought, you've got to be kidding. God loves me. Now, and it wasn't a doubting. I didn't say, yeah, God loves me. How come I'm in this trouble? I just couldn't admit. I was just completely amazed that the God of heaven knew who I was, number one. And then number two, he loved me. Two things drew me to my salvation. Number one was realizing if I did not trust Christ, I would die and go to hell. And I'm sad today and sorry to say that we've taken hell from out of our preaching and made it nothing but a cuss word. When in reality, if you don't get saved, you die and go to hell. And you say, well, I don't want to get saved because I'm scared. Well, then you're stupid because you should get saved. Hell's a real place. People die and go there. That was the number one thing that motivated me to salvation. I knew if I didn't trust Christ, I'd die and go to hell. And number two was the fact that God loved me. So now, wait a minute, Pastor Johnson, how do you reconcile those two things together? I don't know. Why would God love a hell-deserving sinner? I don't know that. I don't understand it, but I know this. The Bible says it's so, and that makes it real. That means God loves me. And that just amazes me to think that he would love me. And as a boy, I thought, well, then when somebody invited me to trust Christ, quite frankly, other than my fear of making decisions and public decisions, other than that, I was willing to come to Christ because he loved me. I love the Lord because he first loved me. Romans 5:8, the Bible says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know this symbol of the cross when the Bible says commends his love. God commendeth his love toward us. That means he put it to an open display. He revealed it for everyone to see that God loved us. And he did that when he sent Jesus to die for us on the cross. See, if you doubt God's love because you had a tough childhood, you doubt God's love because you've been through difficulties, you doubt God's love because you lost a job, you doubt God's love because you're having physical problems, you doubt God's love because you're going through a battle in your life. If you doubt God's love, all you have to do is look to the cross of Jesus Christ and see God sending his perfect son to die in our place because he loved us enough to give us salvation we did not deserve nor could ever earn, and he did it because he loved us and we were sinners who needed a Savior. He first loved us. One of the reasons we have a Bible in our hands is because God wanted us to know about Christ and salvation, and he wanted us to know that he loved us. One of the saddest things in this world, in studying religions in this world today, is you don't find the deities of other religions ever expressing their love to their adherents. The Muslim God of Allah never expresses his love to his people. Never. There's no expression of Buddha to his followers that he loves them. There's no expression from the 330 million gods of the Hindu religion. There's not expression of love from one of them toward their adherents and their followers. Not one. But all across the pages of the Word of God and all through the history of mankind, our God has displayed how much he loves us. He loved us first. You see, that, be honest with you, that's why the psalmist said, I love the Lord, because in the word love he used there is a word of response in love. How can you not love somebody who loves you unconditionally? How can you not love somebody who knows everything about you and still loves you? How could you not love somebody who knew or knows what will be in your life and has already decided in advance, before anything has ever happened, before anything has ever done in your life, he's already decided he's going to love you? And who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's amazing, ladies and gentlemen. It's just amazing. He loved us first. I love the Lord because he loved us first. How would you complete the statement this morning? I love the Lord because, number two, you ought to be able to put this statement to it. I love the Lord because my life proves it. I love the Lord because my life proves it. There's no greater injury in a couple's marriage than when you violate the trust of your spouse and then you try to tell that person you've violated that trust in. You try to tell them that you did love them, though. It's pretty cheap, isn't it? It doesn't ring true, does it? In John chapter 14 and verse 15, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Hang all that stuff about how much you love God and then you live your life the way you want to. No, you don't. No, excuse me. No, you don't. It's an interesting in the Bible. It's so interesting how the Lord ties the analogy of a husband-wife relationship to his relationship with us. And a marriage is a giving relationship. Somebody once said marriage is a 50-50 proposition. Another person said, no, it's 100-100. You both give all. And then someone else said one day, it's a 60-40 proposition marriage is, and you both give 60. Because it's a sacrificial thing. You commit yourself in dedication to your spouse. You don't set the terms or the limits and when do I get mine and what about me and all that selfish stuff. That has nothing to do with a biblical marriage and what a good marriage is. And hey, look at me. There isn't anything you wouldn't do for your spouse if you love them like you should. You lay down your life for them. You'd go the furthest distance possible. Because you love them the right way. What most people call like today, what most people call love is just like. Until they get what they want or don't get what they want or it's not mine or I love you but I'm not in love with you. All these other stupid statements you hear people make. We should quit watching television and listening to these people and really look at the Word of God and what real love is. Now look at me. And our God in heaven tied our love to Him like the love up for one spouse to another. And how can you tell your spouse you love them and then you're cheating on them or you're dishonest with them or you lie to them or you're deceptive? How could that be a loving relationship? And how can you tell God you love Him and you're going to do it your way? Well, I love you, Lord, but you see, I've got my own life. And that's a funny way to say you love God, isn't it? I love you, Lord, but I know what the Bible says I'm supposed to do. It's God's word, by the way, the Bible, not man, not man's word, not my word. It's God's word. It's what He told us to do. I love you, Lord, and I know what the Bible says, but I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to do it my way. There's no way the God of heaven looks down from heaven and says, okay, well, that was close. I appreciate the patience that a wife has with her husband. It took my wife 20 years to get me to put the toilet seat down. And almost the same length of time to turn my t-shirts right side out, right side the right way once I took them off. And I look at it this way. Why keep hanging up all those clothes if you're going to put them on in a couple days anyway? They'll be right there. Just put them back on. Brother, I'm nailing right now. I'm on it. I'm on the book now. And questioning why you need 52 hammers when you never fix anything. But anyway, now I'm getting myself in a lot of trouble. But I love you, fellas. I really do. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now look at me. What you're not doing, you know you're supposed to do, is proving to God that you don't love him. Oh, he knows better. Yes, that's right. He knows better. See, the commandments of God are not grievous. That means simply this. God is not going to ask something of you that you can't do. He's not going to do it. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And boy, we throw that verse up at those difficulties in life when the truth of the matter, Philippians 4:13, means I can do anything God's told me to do. That's not self, you know, pumping up Mike Johnson. You can do anything you put your mind to. No, I can do anything God tells me to do. So whatever it is, an area of disobedience, whether it's something I'm supposed to do, I'm not doing, or something I'm not supposed to do, I continue to do, whatever that is a walking sign that tells God I really don't love him. And then you can't say I love the Lord because I'm going to live it my way. It doesn't work. If you say I love the Lord because, then your life should prove it. I was watching a couple, counseling with a couple one day, and he was trying to convince his wife that he loved her. And he was one of those very compassionate, understanding kind of guys. You don't really love me, she said. He goes, yeah, I do too. Come home every night, don't I? I looked at him and I said, boy, you're a romantic devil, you. You're Mr. Romance in a pair of pants, pal. That's great. Yeah, you come home every day. Sure, because nobody else wants you. No, I didn't say that. But the truth is, it's amazing. And I think to myself, no, wait a minute. He could have said it all day long. I love you, I love you. How many times do I have to tell you that? I told you that when we got married. If I change my mind, I'll let you know. How endearing. I love the Lord because you need to tell him. He does. He needs to hear it from his people. He gets cussed all day long. He gets blamed for everything that's bad. If there's a disaster, it's called an act of God. But sunrise just happens by accident. So he needs to hear us say it. But our life needs to prove it. Now, friend, that's the short and the tall of it for you and me today. I love the Lord because my life proves it. By the way, if you say you love the Lord to other people, does your life prove it to them? I love the Lord, but I'm not giving up this stuff in my life. Oh, good. Then what you're saying to them is you really don't love him that much. Back a few years ago, there was an artist in, I think it was Denmark, it may have been Amsterdam, who did a cartoon that depicted Muhammad, the Muslim prophet, in a negative light. You know, he was in a diaper or something. I don't know what it was, but it depicted him in a negative light. Muslims flew to that country to burn his house down and try to kill him. All across the world, Muslims erupted and burned places where those newspapers were sold. And when a Muslim was asked one day, why are you so violent about a cartoon? And his question was, why are you so passive when someone makes fun of one of your prophets or deities? We happen to love ours. I'm not promoting violence today for people who make fun of Jesus or God. I'm saying this, where's your devotion to this thing? Where's your devotion to the God of heaven? I'm not asking you to advocate to be unkind, rude, stand up, yell at people, get in arguments and fights. That's not the spirit of what we're supposed to do. The Bible says we're supposed to be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that lieth in you with meekness, restraint, and fear, respect. But never mind, I love the Lord bumper stickers. How about I love the Lord lifestyle? And that's a lifestyle, where you are here, what you are at home, what you are alone, what you are at work, what you are on vacation, wherever you go and whatever you do, your life says, I love the Lord God of heaven. I love the Lord because my life proves it. If we finish that statement correctly, I think we should say, I love the Lord because nothing can change it. Nothing can change it. As a young man, David said, I will love thee, O Lord. Psalm 18 and verse 1. Psalm 116 verse 1 is an old man, 40 years on the throne. Hey, 40 years of David's reign in Israel was not 40 years of a cakewalk. He had a son that chased him from the throne after taking years to rebel against his own father and wanted to kill him. David knew his times of battles. He knew his times of valleys. He knew his times of heartaches. He knew his loss. He knew his suffering. David knew some difficulties in that 40 years, and when the time when he was a young man, and he said, I will love thee, O Lord, 40 years later, with the up and down of life and the struggles and the battles and the conflicts and the troubles, he gets to an old man and he's sitting there and he says, I love the Lord because nothing changed it for David. Question, what's changed your love for God this morning? What's gotten between you? Keep yourselves in the love of God. What's gotten between you and your love for the Lord? Has it been a person, a situation, a circumstance, a loss? Something's happened and you hold a grudge against the God of heaven. You say, well, I used to love the Lord. And then he did not say, I love the Lord, but he said, I love the Lord because. And nothing had changed that for David. After all that time in his life, I guarantee you, friend, there'll come times in your walk with him where things will happen, you just won't understand it. It won't seem like something that came from a loving God. It won't seem like something that came to your life that makes sense or that's acceptable or that's something that you understand. But ladies and gentlemen, that's not our program. That's God's program. My job, my goal, my purpose is to make sure nothing comes between me and my love for God. See, relationship things can change. Life situations can change. Circumstances can happen. Look, if we have not figured it out yet, see it. In a moment, in an instant, something could happen in your life that absolutely changes the course of that life forever. But nothing should be able to change the fact that you love God. I love the Lord because nothing can change that. See, if that's right in my life, if I have that anchor of my love for God squared away, and it's right, it's there, it's where it's supposed to be, then you have an anchor steadfast and sure. Something that will always hold you in the course of obedience and direction in your life. Hey, nothing as miserable as a person who's mad at God. And holding God accountable for things, in many cases, is not even his fault. They created it and they blame God for it. But wait a minute, there'll be times. You can't tell me that Job, in his life and all his loss and suffering, that Job didn't question in his mind what God was doing. But he's always came back to a resolution of, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Years ago, I was having some problems in the church. Don't have any more now. But years ago, I've always had an office in my garage. Still do to this day. Have one here at the church. But I do all my study and work and everything in a garage in my office because that's just how I'm used to. I can't handle studying anywhere else. So it's just the way it is. But in the early days, the office in my garage was also the church office because we had started a church. We didn't have a building of our own. So all the phone calls that came into my office there were the church phone calls. And we were going through some battles early years ago. And I was getting hit from every direction you could think of. It started wearing on me just a little bit. I was sitting there one day and the phone rang and I picked up and said, hello, Pastor Johnson. And he said, I just didn't even say hello, preacher. How are you today, preacher? Nothing. Let me just tell you what I think about you. And then just started reading me the riot act. I said, okay, what can we do about this? Nothing. Just wanted to tell you. Click. All right. There's a blessing. Started to do some more work. Phone rings again. Pick it up. Hello, this is Pastor Johnson. Pastor Johnson, this is so-and-so. I'm just telling you right now, I'm never going to come back to your church again. I can't stand you. You're bigoted, mean, unkind, unfair, and everything else. And I said, okay, thank you. Anything else? No, that's it. Hung up the telephone and go, Then I started getting mad. I said, God, God, if that phone rings one more time, I'm going to quit. And I'm going to get one of these churches where you can drink all the booze you want, do whatever you want in life. That's just the way it's going to be. Now, ladies and gentlemen, look at me. Don't talk to God like that. Number two, if the phone rings, don't pick it up. All right? It's just, don't challenge God about the phone, and then when the phone rings, pick it up like I did. I no sooner said that, and the phone rang, and I picked it up. Hello, this is Pastor Johnson. Well, let me tell you what I think about you. And it was somebody else. And they were blowing and going, gusts up to 40 miles an hour, past 60 sometimes. Just going at it. And I put the phone down, went over and did some filing, and did a few things, picked it up. Put the phone down. They're still going. Went in, made a sandwich, got me a Coke and some chips, went out there and sat down. I'm eating a sandwich. And they were just going at it. After a while, they stopped, and I go, is that it? And they go, yep. I said, thank you. And they hung up, and I took the phone, and I went, Christmas! And I just smashed that receiver down on the telephone. I busted the receiver in half. I lost it. I tore the phone off the desk. I flipped my desk over. I turned the chair over. I just had a fit. Now, I don't know what was happening with my poor family in the house, hearing what was going on out there. Probably thought it was an exorcism or something in my office. And it was very close, as a matter of fact. I had a fit, and I pushed my bookcases over. I just had a fit. And I walked out of there was another door out of the office through the garage out to the front. I walked out that door and just said, I'm taking a walk, but that's it. I said, I quit. I put up with this. I put up with that. I put up with nothing. I'm out of here. I'm walking down the street just having a fit. I mean, I was so mad. I said, boy, nobody ever get in my cotton picking way. I'm not in the ministry anymore, and I just want to kill somebody anyway, so that's just the way it is. And I'm just walking down the street. I was having a fit. And I calmed down a little bit, and I said, okay, now, Lord, I quit. That's it. I'm going to write a letter of resignation, quit. Call whoever I'm supposed to call, and quit. That's it. I'm done with those people. And I'm walking down the street talking to myself. Now, I don't know what my neighbors were thinking about that. And I'm talking. I said, that's it. I said, but, Lord, I want to tell you, even though I'm quitting you, I love you. I do. And then I thought to myself, that doesn't sound right. I quit, but I love you. I was coming by, we lived in Cottonwood at the time there, and I came by with these big high wire power pole things with the big concrete stanchions on the bottom, you know, they go up real high. I stopped there, and I sat down against one of those things, put my back against it, and I got to thinking about, I love you, but I quit. And that doesn't sound right, God. No. And I thought, what is that? And I felt something. And I looked down. I was sitting on an anthill. And they were crawling up my shirt and up my britches. Now I'm doing one of these numbers, trying to get the ants off of me. And I just started laughing. I mean, honestly, God has got a sense of humor, folks. Look at people in the mall. God has got a sense of humor. And I'm killing, walking down the street. Now I don't know what my neighbors really are thinking about me. They thought, you know, a rapper. I'm trying to get the ants off me. They're biting the fire out of me, and I'm laughing and I'm crying. And I thought, you know, Lord, I'm sorry for even saying that. I apologize. If you give me a chance, I'll fix it. We'll hang in there. We'll keep going, doing what you want me to do, because Lord, I do love you. And then it made sense. Till I walked back in my office, I looked around. I thought, what in the world happened in here? Man, this place tore up. I had to buy a telephone, everything else. Nothing. I love the Lord because nothing can change it. Now, if we say those simple things, ladies and gentlemen, seriously, you can say them, write them down, say them, repeat them, or is it really true for you? I love the Lord because He loved me first. I love the Lord. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning, would you?